thanks for tuning in. This is Building the Movie List, and this time we're doing a little list maintenance.
Oh, I was going to say that. That was really, really cool.
And my name's Evan, and I'm here with my trusty co-host, Matthew Molina.
Howdy, howdy.
And yeah, we thought it would be good to just go through the movies that we've covered so far, talk about the ones that have made it onto the list, maybe the ones that should have made it onto the list.
I feel like it's been pretty accurate so far. I don't think there's...
And yeah, I don't know. I thought it'd just be fun to see how we're doing and just make sure we're on the right path here. I don't know. Just talk more about the movies and maybe just see what our personal preferences are. So yeah, let's just go. Actually, you know what? Before we get into it, have you seen any movies lately, Matt?
No.
Actually, absolutely not. That is all red, Matt.
The only two movies I've outside of the list that I've watched recently have been Halloween,
the first
2019
one?
Remake.
Oh,
and that was more of a rewatch. I did see that one in theaters.
Oh, okay. So good you had to see it again.
I really liked it the first time.
Oh, really?
Second time, it's the soundtrack is really what stands out.
Really?
Everything else is kind of, it's okay. I'm not as in love with it as I was when I saw it then. And I decided the really good palate cleanser to watch after that would be Halloween 2. The original Halloween 2, not the Rob Zombie Halloween 2. I don't think I'll ever watch that one again. That was terrible. Yeah, and Halloween 2, not bad. It wasn't directed by Carpenter. It was a total cash grab. He didn't even want anything to do with it, but it was pretty good at being a like Carpenter light.
Yeah,
it's all set in the hospital.
Is it like a completely different movie almost, or
no
it's like no, the same thing? Is it like the same people in
it's,
it or
it's more of the same? Yeah, you still got Donald Pleasance and Jamie Lee Curtis. Other than that, I'm not sure there's any more cast that was in the first one, but it's more of the same. It's a pretty solid continuation. I'm not sure I could recommend it, but
if let's say you're a horror movie fan.
Oh yeah, totally.
You need to check out Halloween
totally.
2.
I think Halloween 2 is pretty solid. It's a good sequel, but nothing will ever be the first Halloween.
Yeah.
They're going to keep trying for sure, but it's not going to happen.
I don't know if I've watched it all the way through. I feel like I've seen parts of it on TV.
You should do that.
You know, I've been getting into horror movies now. I really did not like them before. I think it's because I struggle with anxiety, and those movies just like really tap into that and make me not feel good. I don't think I even realized that was John Carpenter does Halloween.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm a huge horror movie fan.
Yeah.
Which, and just talking about that reminds me, I did watch two other movies.
Well, let's hear it.
I watched that and that put me in. I'm in like a Halloween in June mode. So after that, I watched this other really indie horror movie I'd heard about before called We Are Still Here.
I don't know if I know what that is.
You're good. It's got some like good makeup effects. Nothing else is really good about it. It's like this old couple moves into a house after their son died in a car accident, and the house is haunted by, I don't know, old Puritan ghosts.
Those are the worst
Bernie
kind.
They're Bernie ghosts. In that they burn people because they got burnt when they got killed. Set in the 70s, so that aesthetic's kind of cool. But other than that, it's absolutely not worth your time and hardly even worth me talking about right now. But watching that, I did think, oh man, there's another movie that did all of these same things except way better, and that was The Woman in Black, which I, again, rewatched right after I watched We Are Still Here to cleanse my palate. Have you seen that?
No, with Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah, it was like the first movie he did after all the
I
Harry
heard
Potter
that
movies.
Was good.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah. He's been in a lot of kind of weird stuff like that.
Yeah, he did that in the Naked Horse thing.
It's like where he starts like growing horns. Oh, and then okay. It's like a horror movie too,
well,
I
that
think.
Makes sense.
Yeah. What were you saying?
Naked Horse thing. He was in a play where he was naked with a horse.
Oh.
I don't know the context. I just
never
remember that being a thing.
Are you sure you didn't dream that up?
No, I've seen a picture. Or it might be
I think that puts you on a list.
I'm on list.
I have my
own FBI guy who's keeping tabs on me. So in summation, if you're thinking about watching We Are Still Here, just watch Woman in Black. And then just a quick shout out to the HBO series Barry. That's excellent.
Everybody's been hyped on that.
Excellent dark comedy. What about you? What have you seen?
Last night I watched Strangers on a Train, Alfred Hitchcock movie. And that was really good. I think it's one of his earlier movies. It's in black and white. Yeah, it's about this like psycho dude that tries to convince this guy on a train to like do a double murder with him. Yeah, basically where they each murder the person that they want to die. The other person's, yeah. So, but yeah, that ends up being really good and like some really kind of crazy sequences at the end that were pretty impressive.
Have you seen Throw Mama from the Train?
I don't think I've watched that movie the entire way through.
Okay, so I highly recommend that you watch that now that you've seen Strangers on a Train.
is there some link between those?
I don't want to spoil it.
I'm on a train kick now.
Yeah, it's directly linked to Strangers really? On a Train.
It's more or less a
comedy remake. In fact, because that's the whole catalyst.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Danny DeVito getting
about.
The idea is he's watching Strangers on a Train. And he's like, we got a crisscross.
We got a crisscross. Oh boy.
So that's a solid follow up. Yeah, I haven't seen that one. That's on my list. The Hitchcock two C's.
I think it's worth checking out. I watch a lot of movies actually. Francis Ha. Have you heard of that?
No idea what you just said to me.
It's starring Greta Gerwig, lady that directed Lady Bird.
Okay. Starring her.
And it's like a really like indie movie. It's in black and white. And that was kind of just like a light romantic comedy. And she plays this really quirky lady. But I thought that was really enjoyable. I went and saw Booksmart. Booksmart was pretty good. It's basically girl version of Superbad. I don't know, but it's maybe a little, giving it a little bit short shrift, just calling it that. But yeah, it's just like kind of a different perspective on that type of movie, I would say.
Yeah, I've heard so many great things about it. Still haven't seen it. I don't think I will see it. And I do feel kind of guilty about that because it's like,
you're part of the problem.
I feel like I'm part of the problem, but it's so tough to go to the theater for something that sounds like I'd probably enjoy just as much, if not more so. So watching on Netflix or whatever streaming service it comes to, or even renting it. I'll probably rent it on streaming. I usually do that for movies that I really wanted to see that I just never made it out to. I need to hopefully Regal get some MoviePass equivalent going pretty soon here, and then I'll probably start seeing a lot more things.
Didn't we see something like they might be dropping that?
Yeah, there's a rumor that in the end of June right now, like August or September, they're supposed to be rolling out some sort of subscription plan, which fucking finally, god damn it. AMC's had it for like what, a year now or something. MoviePass is still a thing somehow. Cinemia is gone. So
that's gone already.
Oh yeah, Cinemia is like way bankrupt. If we had an AMC near us, I'd be doing the movie list, or not. What is it called again? Yeah, whatever that.
We don't have that.
The AMC Movie Pass is. But the only thing we have here is a Regal. I like a Regal, but they don't have friggin' subscription service. So
yeah,
I only see.
Movies are expensive.
Yeah. And then, you know, all it takes is one bad egg to ruin an experience for, you know, however many people fit in one of those smelly theaters. I can't even remember what the last thing I saw in theaters was. Oh, it was Dark Phoenix. Yeah. And was absolutely not worth it. Good God, don't see that.
That's the vibe I get from that.
I don't think it'll be in theaters by the time anybody hears this, but if it's in a dollar theater, probably worth your dollar. Because that way you can just kind of like walk out if you need to.
if you need to just like say that's enough.
Yeah, just cut your losses and use your time, I don't know, staring at a brick wall or something.
It's a good review.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend Dark Phoenix.
And then I also watched Moonlight.
Again, on my list of Oscar movies from, what, 2 years ago now.
It's pretty good. I don't think it quite lands for me.
Does it feel like Best Picture to you?
No. The movie is broken up into three parts. You're following this kid when he's like a little kid in like grade school, and then in high school, and then him as the young adult. And the first two parts I thought were really good and compelling. But then the last part, I think I just had a hard time buying it. because in the first two parts, he's this like super shy kid. And he's also like the skinniest kid ever. And then it cuts to him as a young adult. And he's just this jacked drug dealer, basically.
Hmm. Is there some disconnect there?
Yeah, I was like, I kind of want to see, maybe they need like a fourth part in there to let me see like how B gets to C.
It just kind of jumps into the third act.
No, yeah, it starts the third act and I'm like, is that the kid I've been following this whole time? Is that him? Yeah, I get it. Yeah, that's him. But it's about a kid that's struggling with his sexuality and
it's real hot right now.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's definitely worth seeing. Not sure if I would say it's best picture.
Well, here's the important question. Is it better than La La Land?
I haven't seen La La Land. Okay, all right. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. La La Land's not great.
And then I also saw Us.
Us is good. I gotta give that. I owe Us another watch.
Yeah.
Because the first time I watched it, I was lit as fuck. I still enjoyed it, but yeah, it's a little bit of a haze for me.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I haven't seen Get Out, so I need to go Get Out and do that. And but yeah, I thought Us was really good. It's really tense, I think, for a lot of the movie, and it's probably my favorite movie so far this year. But that's also just because nothing's been that good. Next best, I would say, is probably Endgame.
Yeah, I can't think of a solid contender, especially not a solid contender that's not a franchise movie.
Oh, franchise.
Yeah, comic book or franchise. John Wick. I would say, yeah, John Wick is... Even John Wick 3, man.
I wasn't too into John Wick 3.
I got everything I needed out of the first kill, like the library
starts out
kill.
Really strong. Yeah,
that was the coolest kill in the whole movie. They blew their load too soon.
Yeah,
everything else was fine. I was just kind of
put that on the box.
That man, yeah,
it's load too soon.
Kill somebody with a book, man. That's awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, everything else, I was just kind of, I kind of zoned out around the time that Bronn from Game of Thrones showed up.
That's right, Bronn is in there. Kinda, oh, yeah. That's when the movie really lost me after that point.
I don't know, it was just zoned out. Like, I took it all in, but it wasn't affecting me in the way that the previous two movies did. And that I was just, like, enamored with the choreography and all the other kills. I was still thinking about that book kill, man.
I'm still thinking about that.
I'm like 2 hours later.
I was really confused as to what John was trying to do. At the beginning of the movie, I'm like, oh yeah, he's just gonna like go kill the people in charge of this whole thing.
I mean, I think that's what's the next step.
But I assume, but like, it was fine.
Yeah, it's not. It's the weakest of the three.
I would say so.
But yeah. Still probably the second best movie of the year.
For you, yeah. I think I would say Endgame.
I might put those like kind of on equal footing. No, Endgame would probably be there because there are parts of Endgame. I'm gonna definitely skip through a lot of stuff when I watch Endgame again when it comes out on streaming.
There's a lot of moments in it, but
I'm probably gonna skip to all of them. It'll probably be a good solid 2 hours of movie.
Yeah. No. Yeah. 3 hours long. Yeah, I think I've seen a couple other things, but that's okay. Let's get into it. Let's talk about what we've seen so far for the list. So we've been going through IMDb's top 250 movies, and along the way, I'm just going to read these off in order.
A lot of casualties along the way.
We start out with Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and then In the Name of the Father, Spirited Away, Heat, Dial M for Murder, Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame, Rush, Children of Heaven, The General, and Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, we've begun with one thing getting on the list, ended with one thing getting on the list, and nothing in between.
Yeah, so far we had two movies make it onto the list. We started with Monty Python and ended with Pulp Fiction, and that's where we're at. Those are the two movies we've deemed worthy.
Other than Spirited Away and technically Avengers, those are also the only two movies that I had actually seen before. And Avengers, I kind of count because I really only saw it like a week before, which is more or less the same amount of time that passed when I saw all the rest of the movies. And Spirited Away, I kind of like half-heartedly watched too the first time. So
yeah, I think the only movies that I hadn't seen are The General, Dial M for Murder, and Rush.
Yeah, I hadn't even heard of Children.
I think
not
I
not on my radar at all.
I might not have seen that before, but I think I did see it in like a class for some reason. They showed it was like a rainy day or something. They showed that.
It's a good rainy day movie.
Yeah, clearly. I got shoes.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the movies that made it onto the list. The only movies that got votes outside of Pulp Fiction, Monty Python were The General, Children of Heaven, Spirited Away, and Avengers Endgame. Everything else has been unanimous.
Avengers had a big pool to
work. I think there was a lot of hype and a lot of zeitgeist. And
it was very, very fresh. Very fresh.
Yeah.
What's the most recent movie that came out?
Infinity of these, War.
Besides Avengers.
Rush?
Spirited. Yeah, I think Rush.
Rush. It's also the most curious inclusion on this list so far.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the worst, but it is definitely one that I don't have a reason for why it's on
the list. Yeah, I'm like...
The other ones, I have reasons. I get in some capacity why they're on the
list. I think we talked about this, but yeah, I wonder if it's just like big in Europe with all the people that are into F1 racing and they're like, I gotta get my votes in for that.
I think it's that plus, Ron Howard and Chris Hemsworth.
It's a fine movie.
A hot ticket. It's good.
We're talking about the greatest.
I think we kind of like, we might have shit on it a little bit, but the only bad movie that we've seen so far.
There's two bad movies.
In the Name of the Father.
So you think that's a bad movie?
I think that's a bad movie with a great cast.
But now I thought we could go through and just kind of rank them ourselves. But yeah, I thought we could just kind of go through it and then talk about our differences in the movie so far. And I'll just start off. The worst movie so far, number 10. It's definitely Heat.
Number 10.
For me, I really just don't like that movie. It's very long, and I found it very boring.
It was long.
And
not boring.
I wonder if I just don't like Al Pacino. Yeah, I wonder if that's just it. Like,
can you think of an Al Pacino movie that you like?
No.
Other than Godfather, even?
I mean, I think that's like a good movie, but I'm not like super crazy about it.
I mean, and that's Al Pacino before he went all fucking nuts on cocaine. That's reserved.
Like, I don't even like, I don't really like Scarface that much.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think maybe that might just be
racist. I just can't.
I like Robert De Niro.
Okay. Is it just the way he looks? I don't know.
I think he just like yells things every once in a while, and I'm like, is that acting?
Yo,
I don't know.
Yo, bro, calm down.
Yeah,
that's Al Pacino. That's his thing. Just, now it is obviously, and Godfather is. His yelling was a bit more motivated.
Yeah, I think he was all right in Insomnia. I didn't mind him in that.
Yeah, he was definitely a lot more low-key in Insomnia.
He seemed like a person in that movie.
But he was also supposed
not
to
like
be
a caricature.
Like sedated, essentially.
Yeah.
So maybe that has... You would like Al Pacino more if he would take some heavy sedatives.
Yeah, instead of cocaine.
That would be your... It's too much energy for you.
That's all I'm asking.
I think he'll trigger your anxiety just because he's so spontaneously loud and obnoxious at times.
That's my number 10. What's your number 10, Matt? I'm going to just type it in already.
Oh, okay. Well, that's In the Name of the Father for me. Hardcore. Just one of those movies that
I think it's easily the most forgettable movie.
Absolutely.
That we've done.
I think
so far.
I forgot about it like five movies in. Saving Graces are its cast, specifically Pete Postlethwaite and Daniel Day-Lewis. Beyond that, man, it's not like a great movie. The story's great. And I know I said this several times over. I'd love to see a documentary on it, but just kind of the movie itself, parts of it didn't make sense. And I'm sure probably on the list because it was super hyped when it came out because it was a relatively recent true story.
Got nominated for a bunch of awards.
But this is one of the ones where I know why it's on the list, but I don't think it belongs on top 250. Maybe if it were like top performances, I could see it maybe being...
I don't
even then
that.
that would take some convincing.
Yeah, I just don't see it.
Yeah, so that's a solid number 10, especially out of what we've watched so far for me.
Yeah, and I mean that's my number 9 is In the Name of the Father. It's just very forgettable. But what is your number nine?
Number nine. Dial M for Murder is my number nine.
Wow.
Yeah, I liked it well enough. This is just like we're getting into the territory on my list where these aren't bad movies. They're just not great movies. It was just Hitchcock phoning it in, doing a requirement from the studio, and I felt it. Yeah. I really felt it the whole movie. And maybe the murder scene was probably the most Hitchcockian part.
Mm-hmm.
And after that was done, I kind of felt really by the numbers for me. It didn't look particularly good. And I felt like I was watching a stage play, which essentially that's what it is. Yeah. Cinematically, I have a hard time putting that on like the greatest ever.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. The title, awesome.
It's got a great title.
You got so many things you can do with that.
That's why
it's on there. Dial M for Monkey.
Dial M for Money.
Yeah.
Monkey.
There's so many opportunities.
But yeah, I think I enjoyed it more just because I'm not as familiar with Hitchcock's stuff. And maybe, yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed the movie, but this is kind of the point in the list where most of these are like pretty close for me. And like, I'm not too crazy about any of them, but that would take it to my number eight. And I have Ron Howard's Rush.
And that would be my number eight as well.
Yeah. I think like we said earlier, kind of a curious choice to be, that's not a choice, but curious movie to make it onto this list.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fine movie about racing, but nothing really stands out. I think it's more enjoyable than like In the Name of the Father.
Oh yeah.
At least it's like kind of fun, and David Brühl is pretty good in it as
he's the standout for sure.
He's the standout. Thor is fine.
He's what he is. Yeah. He's Chris Hemsworth. He's always a pleasure to watch.
Yeah, I enjoyed him.
He looks like he's always having a good time in almost anything he's ever in.
And yeah, so I enjoyed it, but yeah, nothing crazy. Then number seven, I have Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame. I
also have those on my number seven. Wow, look at us.
We are in
this is sync. My... I'm kind of noticing I have a section each... somehow my list is kind of grouped into sections. Number 10 is, you know, by itself. And this is in my mind, a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Me too.
Yeah. Hashtag me too. And 7 through 9 are movies that I didn't hate, but also I liked all the rest of the movies, but I just don't think they belong on the list. And so, yeah, that would be Avengers, Rush, and Dial M.
Avengers, I have that above the previous ones just because those movies are super fun. And in the moment, they're really...
Yeah, it's still fresh,
too. It's a big deal, and it's really fresh. And
they haven't even come out on streaming yet. And now they're re-releasing Avengers Infinity Cash Grab.
And I think it's impressive what Marvel's been able to do with all those movies, keeping them intertwined. And it's really, I don't know, they're almost not like, the Avengers movies are almost like not like movies. They're like,
it's like a series.
Ends of the series almost, yeah.
I would put it more in the category of like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's the only thing that is like close to it, I think, is Game of Thrones. Where you have all these production values and you have all these characters they have to keep intertwined and give their moments to. And
yeah, and you have like a singular showrunner throughout all 10, 11 movies who essentially gets final say on everything. And so that makes all of them really like kind of cookie cutter fun. Endgame is probably breaks the mold the most, but it's still not, man, I just have a heart, like greatest movie ever that's a lot to say about that. I wouldn't put that there. I'm sure we could get I'm sure we could get a lot.
Yeah,
of
you know, we had a lot of people on that podcast that felt strongly about that movie and thought it was one of the greatest. And I think a lot of that is because of the culmination of all those movies really. And I think they did as good a job as they could with it, as far as just being like a singular movie.
No right to be as good as it was, yeah. That's for sure.
But I think just looking at it individually, I don't think it can be one of the greatest movies of all time. And then we go to number six.
I know we're going to. This is where
this is where we're diverging.
This is where we part ways, my friend.
Oh, no. I know what your number six is. My number six is Children of Heaven.
That's a good number six.
That's a good number six. Yeah, I think this movie was well done, and I thought it was affecting following the lives of those kids, and I really did feel for the characters and everything. And that one I can see a little bit more than the previous ones that we've talked about, why it is on the list, because it is this foreign film that was critically acclaimed. It was nominated for best foreign language film the year it came out, and I can see why. It was a solid movie, but it just, I don't think it quite stuck the landing as far as like the ending of it.
Yeah, and that's not even what, because mine's pretty close to your number. The ending, I have my issues with the ending.
Wait, that's a second. Like, you're putting this over. Okay, never mind.
that's a personal thing for me. The ending didn't do what I wanted it to do. But that still doesn't for me take away that it was a really good movie.
I guess like it didn't do what I wanted to do, but it also like I couldn't figure out like why
that was
that
tough.
Ending. I was like trying to.
I've looked into it random times.
It stuck with you.
Yeah, like, I just want to know why. I want
to
know what the reason is. I don't think I ever will, but I want to know like what the artistic intent was for it to end the way that it did, for such a feel good crowd pleasing movie as the
Amazon
description puts it.
Yeah, just not satisfying. But maybe that's what he wanted. He didn't want you to be satisfied.
No, and I it wasn't satisfying. Definitely not disagreeing with that. But the whole rest of the movie was
good.
It was really good. Yeah. It was fun to watch. Don't think I'll ever watch it again. No. But
don't need to watch it again.
Yeah, one time use.
But what about you? What is your number six?
Well, my number six here that I got on my list right here. That's going to be The General.
Oh no!
And we can get into it a little bit.
I'll talk
more
about it
when we find out wherever it is on your list, wherever that may be, whichever number.
Okay.
I bet it's a single digit, but
whoa.
But yeah, no, I can't take away from all the pioneering that it did, and you know the effort and love that was put into it. But I don't think that's enough to put it on a current list of best movie ever. So, I mean, I was thinking about it in the car today. I was like, it's like. It's like cave drawings. They're really important.
Wow.
They're okay. Really important. Obviously, you know, a little extreme, but really important to the world. And art would not be the way it is without
cave
them.
Cave drawings?
Would not be the way it is without them.
So but, you did not enjoy this movie that much.
No, I like cave drawings. I like cave drawings. They're simple.
Why you got to be?
They're pleasant to look at.
I'm just asking why you hate The General.
They're just not. It's. And what I look for in a greatest movie ever, especially a top 100 greatest movie ever today, contemporarily, it doesn't hit all the marks that I want it to.
That's fine. We're going to disagree.
Yeah. But, still enjoyed it. I would not say it's a bad movie at all, even though it's a silent film.
Would you say people should just go check it out when it's on?
Oh, totally.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's free to easy to access. It's free domain, so you can do whatever.
Yeah, I would say like it's hard to recommend that to just like anybody. But yeah, if you're like into film and you want to see, you want to see kind of the birth of modern film. I would say go check out The General.
Yeah, for anybody who's really, really into film, that's a must watch. I feel bad that I haven't seen it up until recently. But yeah, unlike the two movies that have made it onto our list, I really have a hard time recommending it to anybody.
So that brings us to the top five. And my number five is Dial M for Murder. Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed this movie. I don't know. I think like I would watch this movie again. Enjoyed the performances in it. Grace Kelly is a dish back in the day. But yeah, I can see the case for it. And I'm sure that might drop some more after I've seen more Hitchcock movies, maybe.
I think so.
And maybe I'll be more disappointed in it. I think it's a solid movie. Honestly, like between that, Children of Heaven and Avengers, I'm pretty torn between all those. I could go either way. But what's your number five?
So this is where I have Children of Heaven.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're pretty much
where, yeah, it's a, you know,
if you just
it weren't
like
for that
art.
Pesky general,
you just don't like art. It's fine.
No, I like cave drawings. said it again and again. Great movie. Don't love the ending, but the movie itself, Children of Heaven, is not so compelling that I'm ever going to watch it again.
Yeah.
Much less, could not really recommend it to absolutely anybody.
Yeah, it seems like a hard movie. Like, I don't think I would recommend it. Like, I don't feel like you need to go out and see Children of Heaven.
Yeah, it's not.
You'll enjoy it. Yeah. You won't regret
it. It will not be. There are worse things you could watch, for sure. At least five worse things you could watch.
There are at least five movies that are worse than it. And then we get up to the top four. Wow. I just realized what you haven't said yet. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some switcheroos.
Number four, I have Spirited Away.
Mm-hmm.
You were the one person that voted yes for this movie.
Yeah.
And I do think it's a really solid movie. I think it could. I think you could definitely make a case for this being on the top 100 greatest movies of all time, because Miyazaki is such a prolific director and force in film. I think it just kind of depends on which Miyazaki is your favorite and which one connects with you the most. I just have other Miyazaki movies that connected with me more, I would say. But yeah, but then this is the part in the list where I'm like, these movies are clearly contenders, and I would definitely recommend people see them. I think they are worthy of being in this top 200, 250, and worth consideration for the list.
Uh-huh. See, and I mean, Spirited Away, even without really thinking about that it's a Miyazaki movie, I think just as a movie itself, if you just watch that and don't even know any of the backstory or any of the other tidbits about it, I think it's something that a lot of people can enjoy. And it's like, animation wise, I might be wrong on this, I could see a lot of kids like watching that and enjoying it more than some Disney, like classic Disney animation. That actually, this is probably the one movie that, well, obviously, I was one of the people who voted for it, so this would make sense. The one movie that's not on our list that I feel I could recommend to a wide range of people. And I feel most of them would come back having enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And speaking of animated movies,
I just have three movies that I recommend even more.
Yeah.
Sorry. Speaking of animated movies.
My number four is going to be Heat.
That animated,
as in Al Pacino.
As in Al Pacino is so animated.
Man, it's a great crime thriller. And I think the details put into all the heists are really what makes it fairly timeless. If you look past the hairstyles and the suit cuts, the oldie timey style now.
Elbow growths.
Yeah, elbow growths, elephantitis. But that's a one that I feel like I couldn't recommend to everybody, but anybody who likes crime thrillers or like crime movies.
I like crime movies.
I have a hard time seeing them not liking it, and I'm not sure I understand.
I don't understand either, Matt. I don't understand.
But some people don't like Al Pacino, and that's fine, but he's still only one part of the movie. Like, you got Robert De Niro and
it's a big part of Tom Sizemore.
Jeez, that's not as good as Collateral for sure, but that's
Collateral's great.
That says Michael Mann's my second favorite Michael Mann movie.
Okay,
after
I would
watched
say most people would agree with you.
Yeah,
and that brings us to my number three, the first movie that has made it onto our lists, and that's Monty Python and the Holy Grail. What can you say about that? It's just I think it's one of the best comedies. It's still funny today. It's so smart and timeless, and so one of probably the most quotable movie.
Oh yeah, quotable, and it's hard to make a movie timeless, but they kind of like cracked the code on that. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but the more I watch it, the more I end up enjoying it. So it's one of those movies that keeps on giving. Another reason why we all found it worthy of our little list here.
And I think it's a movie that's very much the people involved in this podcast too. I think it really connects with us. And comedy is like so subjective, either you think it's funny or it's not. I think it's definitely one of the comedies that connected with us the most.
I think it's safe to say that anybody who would go through the effort to make a movie podcast probably likes Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
That's probably,
I think, true. That I feel very secure in saying that.
I don't know, we'll have to do some
well
research.
Yeah, we might have to take a vote. We'll have to look into it.
We'll go to Twitter and do a poll. Yeah. But what's your number three?
Yeah, my number three is Spirited Away. My list and your list from this point on is just like, you know, our cogs don't quite line up, but I feel like
we got one cog that's throwing it off a little bit, but that's okay.
One or two. You know, we already talked about Spirited Away, but the animation and detail, I feel like that could be one of those timeless movies that, you know, in 10 years, it'd be pretty easy to go back to. And the fact that it was made, you know, when it was made wouldn't really be a detractor.
And it's probably the most recommendable Ghibli movie.
We did talk about this. I feel like Ponyo would probably be a little bit more widely.
So? I haven't seen Ponyo. Like, it's the one I haven't seen.
Yeah, because I mean, I know there are people like me and a few other people that I know are really really apprehensive about anime. Though I am looking very, very much towards the end of Evangelion.
Oh boy,
I know it's coming down. So, the line.
I was wondering when we were going to discuss this. So you have not seen Evangelion.
I've never seen a single episode.
Do you think
of
it's
Evangelion
better if you like watch the series or if you just go into it?
I'm going in cold. Right.
That's what I want. That's what I wanted to hear.
I don't want to know any. I'm not going to look up anything about Evangelion. I feel like it's probably got something to do with giant robots and big tittied anime girls.
I guess so.
We'll see if my expectations are subverted or not. But I'm looking forward to being immersed in the Evangelion world.
Yeah, we talked about some odd inclusions in this list. That is definitely of the movies that I know of that I've seen. There might be like some weird obscure movie that I'm not really familiar with that might be weirder. I can't really imagine how, but
I could kind of compare it to, because I was looking through it the other day and I saw that the last two Harry Potters are on there, but I'm not sure all of them are. I know one of the, I saw one of the Deathly Hallows is on there.
One of them.
I think the last one
is on there.
I feel like the last one is on there, but I don't know that the rest are.
No. And that's weird.
And I really haven't watched, I think I've watched like one of the Harry Potter movies in earnest.
You gotta
going in cold for that one as well. Like, obviously, I know
a little
bit more.
I'm fine with that because
Harry Potter's
don't think either of those deserve to be.
Harry Potter's a bit more ubiquitous than Evangelion, at least in this side of the world.
Yeah, Evangelion, like even among like anime fans, like how is End of Evangelion the movie that made? Anyways, right, we've talked a lot about Evangelion.
Yeah, it happens. But yeah, Spirited Away, it's great, even if you don't happen to like most anime.
Yeah, even if you're not into anime, like you can watch Spirited
Away.
And brings us to our top two. Number two for me, Pulp Fiction. And we talked about this on the episode, but I don't think it's like my personal favorite of Tarantino's, but I think objectively it's his best movie from start to finish. Like, yeah. I wouldn't change anything about it.
It's absolutely not. It's so, like, everything's there for a reason. The dialogue is fucking so natural. In my opinion, I feel like it's a flawless movie. There's not one element that I feel like, they could have worked on that a little bit more. They could have tweaked that a little bit, and that would have been a more powerful scene or something.
Yeah, you think about, I feel like every scene in the movie is memorable and... Yeah, I don't know. There's something in every scene that's great.
Yeah, there are very few movies that are just...
There's no, like, filler.
There's not. It's so... Even in parts that might feel a little bit slower, it's just so tight and purposeful and well-crafted. It's just... And it almost seems effortless. You can see why it's a movie that makes a lot of people... particular makes it feel like, oh, I can just go out and like make like a movie like this, and they try and just fail miserably every time because it's purposefully crafted to feel effortless.
I think
any problems that people might have with Tarantino aside, he's probably in like the top like three filmmakers today for sure.
Yeah.
Because even other filmmakers that you might consider better, like nothing that they like. Christopher Nolan's a good comparison because Christopher Nolan movies are really good, but they feel effortful. Nothing about them feels effortless. Like it feels like there's a lot put into it. Whereas like Quentin Tarantino's just like, you know, 70s, super cool, right?
Yeah, I don't know. There's just a couple of guys talking about Royales with cheese. I don't know.
And then that becomes like a meme before memes are a thing. Yeah, not a weak point in the movie at all.
And what's your number two?
My number two is Monty Python. Yeah, see, that's the only reason it's number two. And, you know, if you hadn't figured it out yet, that would make Pulp Fiction my number one currently. Just comparing Monty Python to Pulp Fiction in the regard of it doesn't feel like there's any filler. I love Monty Python, but there are a few sketches that kind of feel like, eh, I could probably do without. Whereas, like, Pulp Fiction, I don't feel the same way. And it's almost kind of, it's almost like a sketch format for Pulp Fiction.
Each segment's kind of like a sketch. Yeah, it's almost like he came up with a bunch of scenes and, like, somehow... It's kind of seems like that, but it's so well crafted.
Yeah, it's different, but you know, maybe
I feel like you were saying, he makes it seem effortless, but it's like it's so tight. Yeah, but Monty Python, it is just a bunch of sketches that they.
It seems probably about as effortless, not quite as tight. Definitely a funnier movie again.
They're both pretty quotable.
Well, they're both really quotable.
Maybe we just like quotable movies.
I think my last...
That's why you don't like The General.
There's not a quotable. I can't remember a single line. there's some things in there that, you know, Bear Trap never really like... It's like Chekhov's gun, except there's no payoff for the Bear Trap. There are definitely parts in The General that I feel like the movie could do without.
Agree to disagree.
So yeah, my number one is going to be Pulp Fiction, a movie that I watch at least once a year and that I have no problem recommending to anybody.
Is it one of your personal favorites?
Yeah, I think it needs to be in my 100 list that I've already put together if it already hasn't. And I'm pretty sure it's on there, but I just can't remember every movie that I put on there. Mm-hmm. But that's definitely, like Monty Python, every time I've watched it, it gets better and better for me.
Yeah.
Monty Python, I didn't even really like at first. Probably just because I was trying to be a contrarian and everybody's all like, oh, Monty Python, the coconuts. It's a big thing in high school. Yeah, that's basically, you guys are stupid. I'm watching Kill Bill.
Well, that's cool. yeah. Kill Bill's cool.
Yeah, Kill Bill's awesome. I could see it easily being in just out of every movie in the top 10 list of all time. I can't remember what number it is on.
It's in the, I think it's like 9.
Yeah,
it's
that's in there. Totally. I have a hard time arguing against that.
Yeah, I would have a hard time arguing against it. I think personally, I probably would have like more movies ahead of it, but it's probably his tightest movie and his most well-crafted movie. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's not as good as my number one movie, The General. Yeah.
An important movie. Probably.
I would say it's the most important movie we've watched so far.
Maybe. Just general importance and how influential factor. I would say it might be on equal footing as Pulp Fiction.
Equal,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just really love this movie. I was invested right away and I enjoyed every second of it. I thought it was really beautifully shot. All the stunts that Buster does during the movie are mind blowing. I said this on the podcast, but there's literally a part where I had to rewind and watch it again because I couldn't believe that he did that.
The stunts are really impressive. There's no denying that.
And yeah, I think Buster is maybe like an underrated actor. I think he does a lot of subtle things in the movie, whereas if you watch like Chaplin, he's like really like over the top and dramatic about a lot of things and he's more of like a caricature, whereas I think Buster Keaton's really conveying some emotions with his face.
Yeah, and he's great at coupling that with how he stages the scene.
He constructs a scene really well.
There are just parts that I'm kind of like, all right, let's get to what we're here for. I like that, you know, it looks like it's everything's framed the way pictures in the Civil War were framed, so yeah. That's like that the detail and the love are there, but as
a lot of love.
And the train chase is cool. I can't take anything away from that either. Especially for at the time it was made, it feels very contemporary.
It feels so very modern to me for how old it is. And it feels so big. There's so many people in it, and just the train chases and all the big landscapes that you're going by. And so much of the movie is just moving. When you're on that train, it's just, the movie just like keeps going, and there's this motion to it that feels really good.
Yeah, the sense of motion is really present, but it's just, I don't even remember what exactly happens after the train crash. It kind of, it's like that whole part is a little bit of a blur. I know it had something to do with the Confederates winning the war, which, as we all know, happened.
Well, then they try and cross the river, not on the train tracks, and then pretty much destroy them. And then there's like a gag where Buster has the sword and whatever.
Yeah, he trips over. Okay, I remember the gag where he trips over the sword. Yeah. That's fun.
But yeah, it's fine. It's not, I can definitely see how it's a movie that's not for everybody, but it really connected with me, and it's become one of my favorite movies of all time.
Again, a movie, if you're into film, absolutely, you got to watch it. And it's not very long. That's one of my biggest positives for it. It's a short movie. I would say just watch the train chase, because the train chase and a lot of the action scenes seem very contemporary. But when it gets to the character parts and the beginning and the end, that's where it feels really dated. That's where it feels like an oldie-timey silent movie reel.
Which it is.
Which it is. But the action scenes kind of transcend that, but it's not enough to skyrocket the movie up to my number one on the list.
That's okay. That's okay. We're all different snowflakes. But yeah, you know, we've got some differences on the list. The General is a big difference. I have it at number one. You have it at six. I have Heat at number 10. And you have it at four. And everything. Was there going through these movies, I know you hadn't seen a decent amount of them. Was there any big surprises, or maybe was there anything that surprised you how good it was or how disappointed you were maybe in it?
Mostly it's kind of seemed par for the course. Mm-hmm. Two biggest surprises would be one, In the Name of the Father, not liking it like at all.
You really like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, because I love Daniel Day-Lewis. And I figured, okay, it's a Daniel Day-Lewis movie on the top 250. It's probably pretty good and wasn't even good. And the second surprise would be just because I kind of previously how I felt a little meh about Monty Python was how much more I enjoyed it when I really sat down and tried to soak it into my eyeballs and really think about it and not try to fight the cult of Monty Python and just give in and drink the Kool-Aid.
Just come in, man. The water's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. No, it's cool.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise for me was The General. I didn't expect to really fall for a movie that's almost 100 years old. And yeah, I think Monty Python too for me. I don't think I thought it would be a contender really. Until until like we really started talking about it and laughing about all the lines in it and how I think just talking with you guys about it really sold it for me.
Right there with you. Like at the beginning of the podcast, I was like iffy. It's like, it was fine. And then by the end, after we all kind of really got into it, I was like, okay, yeah, it's pretty good. And I got worn down.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
My defenses got worn down. Now I'm just another sheeple.
Now you're just one of us. But yeah, those are our two lists. Two movies made it onto the list.
I don't think we're going to have a problem ranking them.
I don't think so either. We both had them. I figured at the end of this, we could order the movies that we have on the list. Obviously, we're only 10 episodes in. I figure we can keep checking in on the list every so often and doing some maintenance. Yeah, so the two movies we have, Pulp Fiction, Monty Python, and The Holy Grail. I think we both agree Pulp Fiction, best movie we've done so far.
Yeah, out of the two that have made it onto our prestigious lists, I believe Pulp Fiction deserves to be number one until it is knocked off by Evangelion.
Oh, boy. You know, you're just going to watch it just like, oh, my gosh.
It's Can't wait. The General, where I'm just like, I'm not going to like this. This is going to be stupid. I hate anime. And then I'm going to watch it and just
the General end of Evangelion. It's almost as important.
It might be. I feel like it must be. It's the end of an era, possibly. I don't know if they made more after it. But basically, we'll just put Pulp Fiction at number two, and then we'll just have that first spot saved for Evangelion.
So I'm making it official. Number one, greatest movie of all time so far, Pulp Fiction. And second greatest movie is Monty Python. Those are the only two movies that matter so far.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I think we could put a vote on Twitter.
I think we just closed the list right now.
Yeah,
I think we're done.
That's about it, man. We've done all the heavy lifting.
This
house doesn't have any drywall up, but it's ready to go. You could live in it, probably not get rained on.
So that's our list. How do you feel about the list so far? How we're doing?
I think I voted for it was Spirited Away and Heat.
Nobody voted for Heat.
Okay.
I talked to you guys down from there.
I kind of wanted Spirited Away to be on, but not passionate enough that I feel like, oh, yeah, this list is a travesty. I demand an appeal.
Like I said, that might be one where we come back to it and we've seen the other Ghibli movies and we're like, you know what? Maybe we should put Spirited Away on there. I don't know.
Yeah. See, I mean, and that was, and it's not the greatest reason to put it on there, but I wanted it to go on the list so that maybe we can knock it off later. I felt that would be easier than going back and trying to put it back on the list. You know,
see, it's like
trying
to amend the Constitution. I think it should be hard to take a movie off.
Ooh, you know,
once it's on there, it's on there, Matt.
This is true. I will make it my life's work to make sure the general does not get on this.
You know, and that's fine.
I don't feel.
We'll have these maintenance podcasts, and we'll get to talk about our own personal rankings of them, and the general will live on.
I want to make sure the general stays off, and the happening gets on there, no matter what I have to do.
It's not happening.
I feel like a lot of people shit on The Happening, but haven't actually really watched it.
I watched The Happening. I was there.
I really watched it. You see, the problem is everybody was expecting like another The Sixth Sense or The Village, but really it's almost one of the best comedies I've ever seen.
Better than Monty Python?
I feel it's up there because it's a great joke on the movie-going audience. Whereas Monty Python,
they're just not in on it.
Everybody knew what they were getting into when they see a Monty Python movie, but when people go and see an M. Night Shyamalan movie, but we can get into that.
We can get into when that comes. in like 300 episodes.
Yeah, I have a bunch of people internationally voting on IMDb to make sure that pops up on the top 250. It's only costing me $10,000, but I'm doing it.
Yeah. It's worth it. You need to start funding the podcast with that
money. Yeah, well, I didn't think about that, but yeah, I could probably start my own podcast all about The Happening.
But if you want to let us know what movies you think should be on the 100 Greatest Movies of All Time, let us know if you think we've made a mistake so far. You can get to us at buildingthemovielist@gmail.com. or at Building the List on Twitter. And we also have a Facebook page. Do we have an Instagram?
No, I'm working on that. I'm really bad at social media. Somehow I got myself locked out of my own Instagram by trying to make it.
By trying to make another one. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Well, just on my computer. I can no longer access Instagram on my computer.
Well,
so that's probably not the worst thing in the world.
That's probably fine.
But yeah, it's a whole ordeal. Maybe I'll tell you about it sometime.
All right. Sounds good. But I think thanks for joining us. Our next episode will be Kurosawa's Ikiru. Ikiru. I don't know how to say it.
Ikiru.
And
I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
And we hope you join us for that. All right. See you.